You're listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.
You are listening to The Toilet of Hell Radio Show. I'm your good buddy, Joe Thrashenkill, and with me are my good friends, 365 Days of Horror. Say hi, 365. Terrible. And also, Bruno Sword. Bruno.
I don't know any new metal songs. I'm too true. I don't think I'm very good at that one. David Jamin.
I want to hear it.
Ooh, ah!
That's not bad. That's okay.
It's not bad. I tried.
Well, fellas, here we are together again, talking about the things that matter, ideally. What's been going on?
I've had an eventful week.
Yeah, didn't you?
Yeah, you actually, you went and did a thing.
Yeah, I did a thing. I saw our good friend Dr. K, fellow Toilet Hell writer. I saw his band Nequient this week. That was a lot of fun.
Hey, I think W went and saw his band as well. So Dr. K getting around like a record baby. How was the show?
Show was good. It was kind of an interesting mix of bands because Nequient's, I guess, more of, I don't know how you subgenre it, but a little bit of hardcore, a little bit of punk, metal, all that. And the other two bands that I saw were instrumental, like Stoner Doom. So it didn't really match up, but, it was a good show. And Nequient were really good. And people should go see them and buy their merch and give them a floor to sleep on.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. You did something else this week that seemed pretty radical.
I did. We're recording on Sunday, but yesterday there was, if you've been watching the news at all the past week, throughout the country, there's been little pro-fasci rallies going on. You might have heard the names like Proud Boys. You might have heard the names like Resist Marxism, American Guard, Patriot Prayer. All of these little subgroups that are interconnected have had rallies on the anniversary of Charlottesville, where a woman was murdered by a fascist, trying to support their ideals and their hatreds. And they had one in my city, and I went to counter protest. There was about 20 of them and close to about 300 of us, various peoples of walks of life, a diverse group. You had anti-fascists there, you had just moms and grandmas there all protesting against these people. We didn't have any Proud Boys, to my knowledge. It was just Resist Marxism and a couple of guys who look like, I don't know if you remember Tank Abbott from WCW and UFC, but they're wearing their little American Guard t-shirts and their shitty tattoos and shaved heads and pointy goatees, looking sternly.
I've seen a lot of pictures of the protests going on over the weekend. I think most of the ones that I saw came out of the biggest one, which was probably Portland.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, man, every one of these right wing dudes is just a fucking mutant. Like, they're in it, it doesn't make any better. Like when your giant red neck beard is like all wrapped up in some kind of Spartan guard costume. Like, you just look like you're wearing an ill-fitting children's Halloween costume.
Well, it's funny you mentioned that. There was someone who was literally wearing like a gladiator helmet that was definitely purchased at like Spooky Town or Halloween Town, one of those pop-up Halloween shops.
Oh yeah, what is that? Spirit of Halloween?
There's Spirit Halloween. Yeah. There's Spooky Town. I think there's Halloween Town. There's probably a couple others.
High Party.
Yeah, and I think they all come from like one giant warehouse in like the middle of the country that just sends out cheap plastic costumes throughout the country. But one of them was wearing that. It was pouring rain here. It was like a bad thunderstorm. There was actually a tornado up in Massachusetts, I read. So, probably not as many people as there would be if it was nice out, but when I got there, a fight broke out. Like as soon as I got there, That was really the only actual fist fight that I saw. They had two little tents set up because they had electronic equipment and PAs because they were going to give speeches. As soon as the first guy started talking, the tents were torn down. One of them was destroyed, and that was it for speaking. That was a lot of fun.
How long do you think they got to speak?
Well, the whole rally like started at 12, and there was maybe 3 or 4 minutes of actual speaking at the most. And they were going to do it on the steps of the state house, and they couldn't even get there because people showed up early and linked arms and didn't let them walk past them. So that was fun. I showed up with a whole case of water and was handing out water to people protesting, doing my little part while yelling at these assholes. Yeah, you know, it was good to be there. It was good to let our voices be heard. I've seen people say, like, just don't engage them or ignore them. Then that doesn't work. You need to get in these people's faces. You need to let them know it's not acceptable. You need to let them know that their ideas are not acceptable in 2018 in this world we live in this state we live in. And, you know, it's not going to get as much press as Portland did because there were a lot more people there and the police were a lot more active than they were where I was, although we did have SWAT people show up and stand around protecting these assholes. So, you know, it was a good time had by all. I'm glad I went, and I encourage other people to go as well the next time this happens, because it will happen again.
Yeah, and it's probably coming to your town, and there will be the Chuds there. I would like to encourage everybody that shows up to please be safe. Because as you were alluding to, lots of leftist activists were arrested in Portland, as seems to happen every time there is a counter protest to whatever kind of Proud Boy SS Adam Waffles group. The cops tend to go after the leftists first. That's just, you know, I don't want to say that's ingrained in their culture with their, you know, extremely right-wing Blue Lives Matter shit, but be safe. I've heard that, like, journalists were arrested, people were charged with things that, you know, just completely pulled out of their asses. That's a thing that's going to happen everywhere, so keep your wits about you and don't let someone lock you up.
If I was in any kind of shape, I'd show up to these things, but I'm not, and there's no way I could outrun the cops. What I can do is I can lie down and they'll have to call in for backup, but they'd have to get their big Ford Explorer for me. I don't think I'd do so well in the typical cruiser. They would just have to get the SWAT van.
So Jordan, having been there in the flesh and seen the Übermensch on the right side, are you concerned that these anti-Marxists are going to, you know, take you down?
I am not worried. It was a soft, doughy, pale crowd for the most part. The only thing I'd be worried about is that they have weapons on them.
Yeah. And they were saying, yeah. Well, that's the thing that you were saying. Like, the cops stepped in to, like, take their weapons and then leave them alone aside from that.
Yeah. I mean, I saw a knife get confiscated. I saw someone on our side had, like, just a giant stick that they took right away. But really, it was just a couple of fists that I could tell. And then they actually separated part of, not the protesters, but the people having their little rally into two separate spots, I think to kind of calm things down and to separate the protesters as well. They moved them like a couple hundred feet in another direction. These guys in like blue rash guards, and I don't know, you know, I get all the groups confused and they keep changing names because they keep getting in trouble. They had a blue flag with a white design on it. It looked like a kind of a sun wheel. I don't know if either of you have ever watched Community, but it looks like the Greendale flag, which I let them know by saying their flag looks like a giant asshole, and everyone laughed at them, and they kind of put it away after that.
You know, I'd like to appeal to the like right-wing douchebag nature of most cops. And I mean, aren't you guys the types to say boys will be boys? Maybe just let us settle our differences in the street. Just fight it out.
I think that's a great idea. I think that, yeah. I don't think that the riot cops need to be there. I think that they can just let it happen.
I mean, let's see whose asses get kicked. Let's see who feels embarrassed about themselves and goes home and maybe rethinks their position. You know, this is the kind of thing that happens in grade school, and maybe it'll work in a different environment. I don't think we're really going to kill each other, really, maybe, except, you know, those other times, but... I'm saying the cops could not be there.
Yeah. No, the biggest thing is like, if it's like in, Charlottesville last year where Heather Heyer was murdered, you know, she was, mowed down by, one of these, Nazis driving a car through a crowd. Like he intentionally killed her and injured other people by driving through them. But elsewhere, like in that big melee, there were a couple of I forget what group they were a part of. They're fucking Nazis that like had guns and were like unloading them like unarmed people, and that's the biggest thing, like bringing weapons, like intentionally trying to mow down unarmed protesters like with your car. Like that's really where shit gets out of hand. I think that people lose sight of just how toxic this right-wing nonsense is, because these people want to murder you. And it, you know, if they were allowed to, they would.
Yeah, there's no talking it out with these people. It's, we're not all going to sit down and have a really nice conversation and come to terms. They want us dead. Literally, they want me for existing to be dead. How do you talk to someone like that?
You don't. There is no productive conversation to be had, and any kind of moment for growth is long past. I think we can live and let live, provided you never talk to anybody, stay in your basement, and never lay a finger on somebody.
I guess I just don't understand this angle they're coming from, where they're saying like our freedoms are under attack and we're under attack, and you know, white genocide is a thing, and they're looking to diversify our homeland and everything else. It's like, okay, let's just say we hit the brakes and we just said, okay, go ahead, Bill, 412-pound Bill, you get whatever you want, go ahead, go nuts, there you go. And then what's he gonna do? Where does he go from there? You know, it's such a strange sort of non-existent concept for what they're really fighting for. Okay, you just get to be racist now. Well, all right. So what does the racist rhetoric entail? You know, what if I let you say all the things you want to say? Well, the next things you're going to say is, well, I want things to happen.
In the case of Richard Spencer, who was punched so hard that he became obscure overnight, Richard Spencer like had a real he had a lot of steam growing behind him for years, and that he would be profiled by these incredulous lib institutions like Mother Jones, who were like, meet the dapper Nazi of the alt-right, and they would just give him fawning coverage for wearing an ill-fitting blazer, and allow him to say like naughty things like, I think that maybe we should have a white ethno state. But nobody would ever press him on like, hey, how are you going to go about doing that?
That's what I'm trying to say. Yeah.
When people were finally starting to press him after like he got made look a fucking clown by that rad anti-fa dude, it was like, well, you know, it needs to be voluntary at first. We'll just make it a condition so that they're not so great here, so they need to leave. So what does that mean? Like economic starvation, like literal starvation, like taking people's homes? Like you want to move people from where they live and put them in Africa. Like you don't get to do that with say that and they're like, okay, well, we'll see you later. That involves force. You want to forcefully remove minorities from the place that they live. These people, the Chuds, they own the executive branch. They own the legislative branch. They own the judicial branch. They own the cops. They own the military. They have everything. And still, they're not happy because their lives are so fucking shitty that they have to put on their Pepe Kekistan t-shirts and have their beer guts spill over their bootcut jeans and march around with a shield of Odin to let everybody know that we're going to beat back the Marxists, and you watch out, you libs. Like, what you have, your life is shit and it's never going to get better. And you think that maybe some invisible boogeyman of leftism is ruining your life when it's your own fat fucking ass.
See, and that's how we get QAnon, because they have everything and it still sucks.
Yeah. It's like the difference between the left and the right is the right uses political power to get what they want. It's like the left just shows up in the street and punches you in the face. You know, we don't call the fucking cops on you. That's not how this works, because clearly the cops are on your side. So if you use like the hard systems in place to encroach on other people's freedoms, how the fuck is that like your freedom being encroached upon? It makes no sense to me.
These fucking sensitive little babies. They're mad that they don't have a state-issued waifu.
Oh, that's what we need, body pillows sent in mail.
Yeah, man. Well, like, honestly, if we could, you know, just... Because I'm not trying to, like, you know, pull some Stalinist bullshit and say these people need to be, like, gulagged or, like, mass murder or anything, even though, you know,
that probably
wouldn't be the worst thing in the world.
No, that'd be great.
You could, you know, give them their own, like, apartment project that's just, you know, got, you know, big vending machines that dispense the body pillows and, I don't know, you pay for 4chan access by the minute.
Yeah, can we just give them a state? Can we agree on one, like Nebraska, something like that?
I don't know. Put them all. I don't want to do that to Nebraska. we'll figure something out. Yeah. What's people write in? Let us know what's the worst state, because that's where we'll put them.
Yeah.
Nevada. Nevada is the worst state, by the way.
I don't know. Vegas is fun.
I don't like Vegas, man. I feel, you know, I got a touch of the anxieties about certain things. So every time I'm there, I'm like, we are living in Sodom and Gomorrah. This is all going to fall down on us in any minute.
Must have been that Texas public school education you got.
It's not so much like the, you know, the vices. I don't, you know, I like gambling and drinking, whatever, as much as the next person. It's like, we're out in the middle of the desert and you've got 40 golf courses and, you know, dolphins stuffed into a fountain outside of Caesar's Palace. Like, none of this should be.
Yeah, just an embarrassment of riches. You're right. I recall that. It's a neat tourist trap, though.
So, yeah, I've heard that there are more protests planned because, we are around the anniversary of the Charlottesville massacre. Let's see, what day is it? Today is the 5th, so that was the 4th. It seems like they just missed their weekend to schedule these rallies on 8-8.
Damn. That would have been
ducks.
So cool. Who's got some bad takes in metal recently that kind of aligns with all this stuff? Do we know anybody? It seems to happen every week, doesn't it?
I mean, like, nobody called out Nurgle, Adam Darski, is that his name? The guy from Behemoth, whatever. The fashion guy. Anyway, during the World Cup, like, he was making some meme magic on Instagram, did this real dodgy Photoshop of some naked African dude standing behind the completely dressed Polish football team, and went on this long-winded rant about how Poland got kicked out of the or they lost their round of the World Cup, but it's okay because Poland creates artists and poets and writers. You know, we're not bred for athletics like these other places. And to be quite honest with you, I was shocked that like Metal Sucks didn't pick that one up and run with it.
I think Metal Sucks, to their credit, I think they're getting tired out of that whole angle. They seem to be doing it less and less. They're not the first to do it anymore if it does happen. They seem to wait to see if somebody else starts, and then they share their take.
But, they hit Mameli last week. We were talking about it, and I would say that, you know, whatever. We already covered that hot take. It's just, it seemed unnecessary, to be honest with you.
It was like a year and a half after he said it, wasn't it? It was like in 17 when he actually said this shit. It's like a slow news day kind of thing. It's just, yeah. I think maybe the constant barrage of Venom sent their way for doing this is kind of slowly getting to them, and they're getting fatigued, and so they're just they're kind of choosing their battles, so to speak, more than
Cover this stuff. Sometimes people jump in the comments saying, like, when did you become Metal Sucks? And it's like,
every time somebody says something like that, like, if I just roll my eyes so hard, because it means that I wrote something that you didn't like. And that's it. That there is no additional criticism to be had. Yeah, so
it's not an argument.
I get it when I write something funny. I get it when I write something serious. It's like, you people have no concept of anything. You're fucking sheep. I hate you so much. Quit commenting.
Well, it's been a good show. I hope you get it now.
On that same tip though, with old Nergy. Behemoth recently dropped a new song. What is this called, Jordan?
God Equals Dog.
Mind blown. Wow.
Damn. In your face, God.
Yeah, take that, God, you bitch.
So I guess, like, God Equal Shit was taken.
People Equal Shit was taken, thanks Slipknot. I just picture Poochie from The Simpsons saying this. I don't know why. Like, wiggity wham wham wazzle, God Equals Dog.
It's like old Nergy was reading the English dictionary one day, and he was like, hey fellas, come here for a second. Did you know that the three letters, if you move them, it's a different word? Wow.
I don't know what to make of this, because I know that they're like satanic and stuff, but I like dogs a lot. Dogs really? Are really, really cool things. So it seems a little backwards, maybe, that they're comparing this thing that they don't like to something that everybody loves.
I think if God was a dog, the world would be a way better place.
What if Dog was one of us?
Yeah.
Just a stranger on the bus. Chasing the bus.
And in that song, it was pretty mind-blowing for people that Dog ended up being a good girl.
Instead of a good boy, yeah.
You couldn't believe it.
Am I blowing your mind yet?
I'm sorry. That's a different song. That's another song where it's like, I really like to meet her. Totally different
song. Oh, yeah. Was that Tonic? Dishwalla. It was Dishwalla. Yeah. I only remember that from...
It's so confusing with those bands, because, like, Dishwalla, Collective Soul, Soul Asylum, they all kind of blend together in that, like, weird 90s mush.
Right, just like a blonde, highlighted, one-hit wonder factory that was the 90s.
I only remember Dishwalla specifically because Anal Cunt wrote a song that mentioned them. It was...
That's how you know you made it.
You went to see Everclear and Dishwalla, parentheses, you're gay. all right, I completely lost what we were talking about. Oh, yeah, so Behemoth is trying to, I guess, out-edgy Deicide, and, like, they're scraping the bottom of the barrel on this one, man. I don't think there's anything left. Like, God is a Duty Head is the next single.
Yeah, the shtick is tired. I mean, it's 2018. You're not... dark and evil and spooky. It doesn't matter that you tear up a Bible. It doesn't matter that your video is not safe for work because you show some titties and balls. You're just Adam from Poland.
I guess it does matter, like, if he's trying to go to Ukraine or something, where they'll hit him with obscenity charges or something, but, like...
Yeah. I mean, in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah, I think most places have agreed that we don't care about this shit anymore. There's just a couple of, backwards theocracies around that are not ready to give up the ghost. But they will, soon. He had some kind of thing about, what was it? The Queens of the Stone Age fella, right?
Yeah. Josh Homme.
Yeah, what was that he was saying the other day?
So he did an interview with Kerrang, and people really haven't picked up on it all that much, but for years now, Nurgle's been saying this kind of treading the water, edgy stuff, and this just made my eyes roll super hard because, again, it's 2018 and we're still talking about this stuff. So I'll just read the quote and we can talk about it. To me, rock and roll is freedom. It just means doing whatever the fuck you want. It feels like we might be losing sight of that. It feels like rock might be becoming too safe. I went to see Queens of the Stone Age in Berlin recently, and they were fantastic. But then I'm browsing online a few days later, and I see this drama all over the place that Josh Homme had kicked a photographer in the face. It seemed like all the world was against him, like he was dashed. On the one hand, of course, I think that was a bad thing and that he shouldn't have done. But on the other hand, I'm thinking,
almost.
You could have. You were so close.
Almost got it.
But
on the other hand, I'm thinking, hey, people, this is rock and roll. It can be dangerous. It can be chaotic. It can be stupid. It can get out of control. It has its own set of rights and rules. It seems that everything has gotten so reactionary and politically correct recently. Back in the day, people would OD all the time. People would die. People would kill each other. We're a culture that's always used drugs and alcohol, and you've got to accept that we can occasionally use them too much. You look at Sid Vicious wearing a swastika shirt, and you need to understand that doesn't mean the guy is actually a fascist. It means he's pissed off. He's probably on heroin, and he's out of control.
Who OD'd recently in the news? Was it a rock musician?
Well, I mean, technically.
Oh boy!
Demi Lovato is out here living the rock and roll renegade lifestyle.
Yeah, you'll fucking save spaces in Demi Lovato's music.
What exactly is Nurgle like advocating here? Because it seems like we need to have dickhead acceptance. Like, hey, just because somebody's a violent sociopath doesn't mean you get to talk shit about him.
Right. Sex, drugs, and kicking women in the face.
It's this fantasy that's pervaded throughout rock music for decades now that, like, back in the 70s, bands could do whatever they want and it was great, but now we can't do that. And it's just that was never really the case to begin with. But it's just this belief that it used to be better then, and now it's not, and it's not fair.
I mean, back in the 70s and 80s, artists were doing stuff that was horrifying. Like, these days, they would be imprisoned, let alone socially get away with it with some of this stuff. I mean, the stuff that we revere, I mean, the guys that we revere as legends probably wouldn't be if a lot of this shit came out. Recently, I think Lita Ford put out a book, and she goes into vast detail about how Tony Iommi just, like, regularly beat the shit out of her while he was, like, high on cocaine. And, while they were engaged, I think, back in the 80s. And it was, like, the day that she posted this stuff, you know, it was just, like, I don't know. Today in heavy metal, I don't know what the Twitter account is. Of course, he posts, like, all hail Tony Iommi. Just puts him up all over the place.
We should read that book. That'd be good.
Yeah, we probably, you know, you could at least read the articles about it. And it was kind of pushed under the rug. I think this might have not even been that recently that this came out. I think recently she defended what she said, but I don't think the actual book came out too recently.
Well, we've talked about this attitude, you know, multiple times on the show where, like, for years, these bad dudes were revered for being bad dudes. Like, oh my god, he's, you know, beating the hell out of people and, like, abusing heroin and fucking underage girls. Like, what a badass.
Yeah. And he's talking about how dangerous rock is, and you kind of stopped at a certain point of what he was saying, Jordan, but I remember he continued and said along the lines of, you know, if rock is too dangerous for you, you should go listen to Justin Bieber, which, like, Jesus Christ, is it 2008 still? Are we still just defining every music that isn't death metal as Justin Bieber? Do people go outside? Anyway, I remember back in, it was either the late 90s, the early 2000s, VH1 had put up a live concert of Michael Jackson. And the moment this man, like, came onto a platform that brought him up to the stage, he just stood there like statuesque for probably 15 minutes while the entire crowd freaked out. And continuously as this was going on, they kept shooting away to paramedics taking away badly battered women on stretchers as the crowd was absolutely losing their shit in wherever Michael Jackson was performing. Wow. And then after about half an hour, the guy turns his head to the crowd after standing completely statuesque. And then the cuts went even more to people being taken away in stretchers. Pop music is, you know, it's nothing to think, like, to shake a stick at. This shit is just as scary if you go to some of these crowds. They lose it in there.
I don't know, man. It seems like the defense of, like, yeah, he kicked a woman in the face who was just there doing her job and didn't have any, like, ill will towards the guy. Sure, he did that. But you got to understand, he's a rock star. Like, oh, okay. I didn't realize, like, that's... Next time I get in trouble with the cops, you know, like, you know, no. It's fine. I sure, I burned down, you know, that church or whatever. I'm a rock star. It's okay.
Like I said, the shtick is tired. The band is tired. I listened to the new song. It's not particularly good unless you like the Behemoth. I think Breno, you did a good impression of what Behemoth sounds like a couple of episodes ago. Would you mind doing that again?
It's a fucking trained seal. You get the you know, the little, what are those honky horns, one of them things on the bicycles. Yeah, bicycle horn. Put them up on a fucking bar there and you get Nurgle out there and he bonks them with his nose. And that's your Behemoth show.
Yeah, he wears spooky face paint. They have some inverted crucifixes. They get some kids to sing in a crappy choir over the song, and that's it. You have your same Behemoth song that you could have gotten 15 years ago, and they are on their fifth or sixth tour opening up for Slayer now, and they'll do their own thing, and that'll be that. It'll be another 4 years until they release another mediocre album. And in the meantime, Nurgle will say stupid shit. Like, what's defending decapitated.
What's the fucking deal with the children's choir? Like, you know, I was writing about, like, S&M the other day. Like, you know, it's pretty, like, creatively, like, bankrupt when you have to play with the symphony orchestra. But nothing is more beat than, like, getting some boys' choir to, like, sing along heartfelt to your stupid-ass chorus. I think it was beat when, like, Pink Floyd did it in the 70s.
I was going to make a meme, and I'm still going to. Just wait for it. But, you know, I'm going to just have one side of it, just Devin Townsend saying, like, oh, I'm broke. And then the other panel, also Devin Townsend. And it's just like a little video of him sort of sitting there in a chair looking inquisitive while he has an entire choir hired to sing Cheeseburger.
He just has a mic'd up Fabergé egg.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't get the children's choir thing. A lot of bands do it. Didn't Ghost just do that too?
Probably. I don't listen to Ghost. But it would make sense.
Neither do I.
It would make sense. Just been a regular choir. It would make sense because that's corny as shit. So it would fit in with their wheelhouse.
Right. It's a safe bet. You can just assume.
What's a cornier move though? Like the children's choir, like
doing a country album.
Ooh, yeah. That reminds me, I Am Morbid is coming to town soon. I want to talk to David Vincent. It was Roman that showed me this interview with Trey when they were talking about when they initially kicked David Vincent out of the band. There was a little bit more context there. It seems like all of those rumors are definitely like confirmed that he was like full on Nazi fash before they kicked him out.
You should do if you talk to him is just kind of get that out of him. Don't let him in on the fact that you're like a leftist guy. Just sort of just be like, so what do you think about all these people who just want safe spaces in hard music? What do you think, Dave?
He's like, brother, let me tell you.
Boy, I tell you what.
Boy, I tell you what. The Mexicans come in here. They don't speak the English.
And then he just spits in like a spittoon.
Yeah. I'm going to ask him, like, hey, man, have you ever read, like, this cool book I found, the Turner Diaries?
Checked out Mein Kampf. It's great.
Yeah. Brother, there's nothing more I like than a double meat, double cheese Whataburger with bacon and a little white power literature.
Sitting on my porch with a tall iced tea brought out by my white, beautiful blonde wife.
Is he still... He was married to Jen from Jenna Tortures?
I think they divorced a few years back.
And they said it wouldn't last.
I don't believe I don't believe in love anymore.
And you know he, like... You know she dressed him for, like, the last 11 years.
Yeah. Well, who is dressing him now that he's a cowboy?
Jesus.
Well, fair. he's doing the I Am Morbid thing, which is not country related, but I'm going to try to get some details out of him. You had something that you wanted to bring up, Breno, about the cavalier way that we talk about some of these bands.
Some of them, just a few. All right. So if anybody follows me on Twitter, maybe earlier in the week, I just kind of wanted to run a little bit of an experiment. And, what kind of prefaced this experiment was the fact that just kind of going around online a lot in all the metal message boards, if we can call them that, really just comment sections, you see a lot of metalheads my age and younger metalheads in general, just they seem to have this sort of, like you said, cavalier way of dismissing the importance of these, like, majorly seminal groups. I mean, you guys know the list. If I just started ringing it off, you would know what the next few names were. If I said Judas Priest, Iron Maiden, Metallica, Slayer, you could give me like five more and they would fit in with my headspace here, you know? And guys will just callously talk shit about these bands and say things like, you know, I don't get why they were so popular. I don't get what the big deal is, what everybody sees in them, things like that. So anyway, I ran this experiment where I just went on Twitter and I just tweeted out, what are some of the most major names in metal that you just don't care much for? And I guess I didn't phrase the question correctly because everybody there was like, oh, Five Finger Death Punch, Slipknot. You know, it wasn't the nice, sizzly, hot ass nuclear takes I was looking for. It was cold, ice cold Pluto surface shit, you know, just like Avenged Sevenfold. I'm like, oh, no shit, you don't like Avenged Sevenfold, man. We're metal dudes. Anyway, so I rephrased the question and I said, well, let's get spicier, guys. What are some bands that your peers consider objectively seminal that you just don't give a shit about? And I honestly thought I would get like maybe four or five pretentious people, but I just, my fucking mentions blew up. My notifications were like 80 strong by the end of the day. So many fucking people just had to pile in and they couldn't wait to just show what kind of contrarians they could be, how they could one up each other in these like stupid takes on metal bands that, you know, were majorly important. Some names that showed up a lot were the ones I just mentioned: Judas Priest, Slayer, Iron Maiden, Metallica was an easy punching bag there for, you know, a lot of reasons. I mean, Pantera was probably the easiest punching bag. I mean, it's kind of really easy to shit on Pantera now because we figured out they were all stupid and racist and, you know, all their fans were aggro morons. But I mean, fuck, man, when you guys were 15, how awesome was Pantera?
That's kind of a thing that I've been thinking about a lot lately because, you know, we all fire off pretty hot takes. We got opinions on bands. That's like 40% of this entire show.
Yeah, something like that.
But I'm trying to give a more honest assessment of like the kind of stuff that I liked when I was a kid and the kind of stuff that I listen to now and be a little bit more, I don't know, less hot takey and more like as an actual critic, which, you know, is a waste of time, but whatever. It doesn't do anybody, you know, you're not doing anything by just saying, hey, I don't like that band sucks, and you're stupid for liking it. Like, if nothing else, you got to at least be funny with it. it gives somebody something with your hot take.
Like we give each other shit all the time about, like, Anthrax versus Megadeth. But I just happen to really like both those bands. I know you guys don't like Anthrax, and I understand why. They're kind of goofy, and their production quality is pretty ass compared to the other guys. But I always grew up just thinking Anthrax was great. And, you know, I don't listen to them anymore because there's way better shit now. And that goes off with everything. I mean, I when I originally went into all this, I kind of just attributed all this to like the coolness of contrarianism. I just thought these guys were just trying to ruffle feathers and that they were just trying to look like cool and fucking pretentious and, you know, say things that made them appear like deeper or more advanced as listeners. Like, how amazing must your opinion be if you could actually think a band like Slayer sucks as a metal fan? You know what I mean? That's where I thought this was initially. But as I kind of thought about it and I kind of evaluated my own opinions and where I came from as a metal fan, I think it's different. I think with Spotify and streaming services in general, I think that there's just this this like permeating feeling of just entitlement and fatigue in metal fans. And like, you know, everybody's so jaded and cynical now. They just don't remember what it was like to be like 13, 14 years old and to just put on a, you know, a Megadeth record and have your mind fucking blown listening to Tornado of Souls, or have your mind blown by like Painkiller from fucking Judas Priest. I couldn't stop playing that goddamn song when I was like a 15-year-old kid who had just found it. You know, because I had to buy albums back then. I had to like see what people were talking about in like a magazine. You know, the internet was unusable. So, I mean, these days it's totally different. You could listen to any song in the history of music right now in 11 seconds. You could have it playing in its entirety for totally free.
And that rules, by the way. I don't have any kind of particular attachment to the before times. I like now.
Well, that's the thing, man, is like if I was 15 years old and something like Spotify just fell into my lap, I would have cried for like hours in joy. I would have been like, because it was like when I bought System of a Down's Toxicity, I saved up for a fucking week of lunch money to get the album. I heard Chop Suey on like TRL, for Christ's sake, with like the dead-eyed Carson Daly just like letting me watch 11 seconds of the fucking thing before he was like, "Hey, up next we got Britney Spears. It's a total request live."
It's pretty good Carson Daly impression.
but now it's like I could care less. I don't even listen to entire songs. You know, there's just so much shit out there. There's so much music just coming in at all sides all the time. You know, and it's just like I don't appreciate what I have as far as being able to just stream anything anywhere. So I think that this has just affected us, and we now hold a band like Slayer to the same esteem as this like insane technical death metal band that came out a year and a half ago. And it's like, dude, of course Slayer's not going to have any fucking way of holding a candle to these guys because they were just figuring this shit out like 40 years ago. So I think that in closing, we're really dismissing the context in which these bands came out. I mean, you had the Beatles and then you had Motorhead. Give me a fucking break. How much better is Motorhead? You know, like, and then they'd say, "Oh, Motorhead sucks and Wormed is better." It's like, oh, give me a fucking break.
I think that you're describing a couple of different phenomenons. One is like one of this is like needing to understand that like we build upon each other. Like when somebody creates one sound, another person comes through and builds on top of it. You know, mm-hmm. We are standing on the shoulder of giants, as it were. So you can create sick slam death metal. and another thing that you're describing is like option paralysis, in that there is too much to choose from. And
exactly.
It's been like proven scientifically that like having like just unknowable number of options doesn't make anybody happy. It's actually like having maybe two, maybe three options. That's the sweet spot. It's also like one of the contradictions of capitalism. Like we need to have 90 different kinds of mustard at your local grocery store. That's how we know that we're good, when everybody just would have been happy with the plain yellow one or the plain brown one, and that's fine.
Yeah, it should just be French's and then leave the rest of them out of it. But I just I don't know, man. It's like, yeah, you. I think we're tired of Master of Puppets. I get that. But just to say that, like, oh, the Big Four never did anything for me, I think that's a little strange. To just say that, you know, as a flowering 14-year-old metalhead, you didn't, like, spin Metallica for the first time and have your fucking mind blown by a song like Battery. How fuck, like, put on Battery right now and tell me that song sucks. Tell it to my face. That's ridiculous.
Kid, I don't know. Kids might not get it now because, you know, old shit is old. What do you think, Jordan?
Yeah, I think a big part of this is time.
Yeah.
You know, something that we don't really talk about all that much is a lot of the bands, these classic bands that we've been mentioning, have put out records in the past couple of years. We never talk about those.
No, they haven't.
And we don't talk about those not because they're not good, although some of them aren't, but for the most part, it's like, yeah, this ain't bad. I'm going back to the classic stuff. I'm going back to what I know and love. And I think that's just kind of a natural way we always react. We go back to our comfort zone. You know, it's, and also a lot of these bands have had flops since those classic albums that,
a lot of flops.
Again, we don't talk about those that much, but I guess for newer listeners or even the contrarian listener, they could say, yeah, you know, Injustice for All is good, but Lulu. And you kind of go like, well, yeah, I don't know what else to tell you.
At this point of time, considering the fact that they've had these multiple decade careers, you can safely say that every single band in the Big Four, each one of them has more bad creative output than they do good creative output. Any one of them, Metallica, certainly, Megadeth, most definitely, Anthrax. Oh yeah. And, you know, Slayer, of course. Slayer has not made a good album since the 80s. They just can't do it. And that isn't the case with the other guys, but Slayer, for some reason, the moment the turn of the 90s came, it was just bad all around. I mean, Season of the Abyss is pretty cool. I take it back. I'm wrong. I forgot when that came out.
If you'll allow me my contrarian take about all this, like, I like six Slayer songs. I've listened to probably every Slayer record multiple times, and over the years I've just come to realize, nah, I really only want to hear those six songs, man.
Sure, and I agree the same way. I think out of the Big Four, Slayer's probably my least favorite. They're the ones I go back to the least. And maybe that makes me a bad metalhead, but I think what really makes you a bad metalhead is to say, like, well, you know, fuck Slayer. Slayer's stupid. Slayer sucks. And it's like, man, Slayer inspired everything you like. Everything you like. Every guitarist in every death metal band that you talk to, all the biggest fucking names, like, those dudes ripped with Slayer. They loved that shit. All the black metal guys, they loved Slayer. Like, it was great back when it came out. It was a mind-blowing, insane, super shred to the max kind of music back in a time where they didn't really have that. And a lot of people argue that there was better in the time, but I mean, was there really?
Yeah,
you think of like
Slayer, San Antonio.
Right, San Antonio Slayer. You think they were a better band? They fucking weren't. They were another trad metal band still trying to figure out a stage in the 80s like everybody else.
I guess it's difficult for me to jive with all this because, like, I don't know. I'm not nostalgic for a time that I never lived in. You know, I didn't live through, like, the golden age of thrash or anything like that. I like a lot of the material from it, but, you know, I am the product of my time, and I like the bands that were up and coming when I was up and coming. That's just, like, how people work, I guess, and it's a real shame that I came up when there was nothing but nu metal.
I mean, in my adolescent years, metalcore was the big thing. Like, when I was a teenager, As They Lay Dying, Killswitch Engage, Lamb of God, those were the bands that were coming up, and they were the ones that had whatever sort of TV time was dedicated to metal in that moment. And I remember hating that shit because I knew I was supposed to, based on what those web forum morons told me in my stupid, mushy 14-year-old head. You know, they said, oh, this new whiny shit, it sucks. You know, metal used to be good. It used to be Slayer. It used to be Metallica. It used to be Megadeth, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so I would just wear my Slayer shirt to school with the most Nazi shit. It was just, yeah, I didn't know any better. The big fucking stupid Iron Eagle and, you know, and the skull with the pointy shit on the helmet, you know what I mean? And I would just play that on my CD player on these stupid mix CDs I would make with these chirpy, awful MP3 rips. And I was so happy that way. But I think that context is super important, and the time frame in which these things came out is super important. And if you don't like them and you don't play them in your free time, I get it. But at the same time, don't fucking tell me Judas Priest isn't metal, or that you don't consider Judas Priest as a metal band, more of like a hard rock kind of band. That's like the dumbest objectively incorrect thing I've ever heard in this whole ordeal. Somebody said that, and it took a lot to just be like, you know, the silent observer of that and not just rip into that guy until this very moment.
I'm looking forward to like the generation underneath us coming up and just shitting on everything that we like. Like, oh man, like this Dillinger Escape Plan, bullshit, sucks ass, man. Where it's at, Blood on the Dance Floor, those are the originators.
Broken Side.
Broken Side.
You guys realize that Blood on the Dance Floor and Broken Side really haven't done anything in like 8 years.
I know. I thought about this for a good 2 seconds in my head before I realized I don't know anything that kids like because I'm fucking 30.
I'm trying to think, like, what's like a right now metal band?
The YouTube guitarist. That's what kids like. The dudes that play guitar.
Jared
on YouTube.
Deans.
Yeah.
Jared Deans, yeah.
Yeah.
And
YouTube keeps fucking recommending him for me. It's really annoying.
Yeah, children. I hear the kids all the time, like, you know, all these 16-year-old girls are like, I just can't get enough Glenn Fricker. He's just so sexy.
Yeah, right. Oh man, Glenn Fricker is like, I'm looking into a mirror in the future. I gotta do something.
No, you gotta make a change right now.
your hair won't be that curly.
No, but it'll be that long and I'll be that fat. So, ugh. I mean, I'm both those things right now. So I'm just looking in a mirror when I see Glenn Fricker and I'm kidding myself. But yeah, I think that would have been the first thing out of my mouth if you asked me what's right now, but it's like, not even fucking true.
Yeah, Gent died like a couple of years ago.
Yeah, it's just we're in this really strange point in time where nothing is trendy.
Well, I mean,
broken at all.
I guess everything is kind of everything has become more modular. Like people, there are smaller crowds around things. Like, you know, there's like Jesus Piece and shit is really popular with kids, and like the Cholo rap thing the San Diego band that has all the face tattoos.
Attila?
No, but I guess that would work too.
Also applies.
And you know, there's little pockets of punk rock here and there and little pockets of hardcore here and there that, you know, seem to be getting some steam. I think it's just like everything else. There's no monoculture for kids into weird shit anymore. They're finding what they can where they can. Which I don't. Yeah. That's fine by me. I'd be okay if we didn't have another big, you know, deathcore revival.
Well, I think that's a positive spin to put on it, certainly, and I agree with that. But at the same time, kind of the unfortunate side of it is that you don't really have people making new music anymore. You have, I don't want to call it like a nostalgic cash grab because I don't think it's a cash grab. I don't think any of these old school death metal bands are looking for any money, but I think they're looking to make music that people used to really like. I listened to an entire Tombold record for the first time last night. I was so into it, but at the same time, I kind of had this separation where I was like, this isn't really anything special. Not to shit on the guys, they're a great band, they make awesome music, but the reason they make awesome music is because they make what used to be awesome music.
I think that's Lassertilian wrote a piece last week that I think he was really onto something there with, like, we're living in the golden age of death metal, and I don't think this is what he meant to say when he was writing the piece, but I think that with what you just said there and what he wrote, I'm kind of piecing it together now. Like, kids like making music don't necessarily have the context of like this was an important scene for these people during their formative years. They're creating their own little scenes. We're doing the same things over and over again because that's what's fun for young people. Like, that's really all it is. And it's not about like making history and making art. It's about making like fun things for you to hit your friends to when you're 16.
Yeah, and then we do have this knee-jerk reaction to complain about bands that finally do something different within the metal realm. You know, we I look to a band like Volbeat, who did something different, who does something different while still being heavy, while still getting, they have Barney from Napalm Death does guest vocals for them. They have King Diamond doing guest vocals for them. And people just go, well, I don't like that psychobilly, weird rockabilly stuff. It's dumb. It's stupid. I don't like it. And it's just like, you finally have something different, but you automatically hate it because it's different.
Yeah,
and that's a problem too.
Yeah,
it's possible. But something I hate a lot worse than something like Volbeat is something like Five Finger Death Punch, because I think Five Finger Death Punch is like dinosaur music. It's shit from like 2002, and the guys that were 15 in 2002 hear that now and they go, "Oh, awesome! Music is good again."
Well, those guys are always
buy that shit up.
Those guys are always going to be 15 mentally. Like that.
Yeah,
they're never going to change. So
truck nuts.
Truck Notes and Monster Energy. That's, you know, these are the people that keep Harley Davidson in business for now.
The clock's ticking.
Yeah. Tapping my toe on that one. I don't know. I think it's a really interesting sort of phenomenon, what's occurring here. And as I thought about it and looked into it and got so deep into it, I just was, you know, I just had this like overwhelming feeling of just, I don't know what's happening to the metal scene. You know, I'm just out of it.
Yeah.
I'm finally the dad rock.
Embrace.
That's what's happened.
You got to embrace your irrelevance.
Yes, I have to,
because I'm not even like joking about that. I think it's a good and healthy thing for dudes our age to understand that there are things happening like within this scene that we have no part of, that we don't affect in any way, and that we won't affect in any way. It's good to just let go and let kids enjoy things.
Yeah. I mean, I'm the last guy on the internet who gets mad when people say the Beatles suck. I'm the last guy on the internet my age to do that. I don't know why. I can't. It's like the last rock band that gave a shit about like Tom Bray or whatever it's called, and you guys, like, they suck. Because why? They don't play 8-string guitars. What do you want? I don't know. I'm old. I got gray hairs. My back hurts. I just need to start embracing all three of these things.
Yeah, I noticed that I'm starting to lose a little hair around my temples, and I'm not at all freaking out about that, and how I'm irrelevant and will be dead soon, and then the world being engulfed in fire. These are all fine things, and it's okay.
Sign up for the Patreon.
The world's been on fire for like 300 years, and we just haven't really done anything to blow it out. I don't think we'll ever be okay, but I think we'll still be in a pretty calm status of bad.
Here's hoping. So I guess to close this one out, my thoughts on this are that kids like what they like. Adults cannot tell them why they like the taste of Apple Jacks, even though they don't taste like apples. They don't. You know? We can't tell these fucking kids anything, and if there's one thing that kids hate, it's because I hated it when I was a kid. It was being told that I need to respect some old musician that was doing shit before I was born. You know, I think that's part of the reason why I've got such disdain for like Bob Dylan and the Beatles.
Well, you should fucking respect your elders, you bunch of kids.
Kids,
and honestly, like, the people who are saying this are like 2 years older than me, but what do I know?
Yeah. Well, kids gonna be kids. And, you know, it's good and fine to, you know, make your way through life, you know, finding the music that works for you and then being embarrassed about it years later. The most important thing that we can do is bash the fash in the meantime.
Yeah. No, Limp Bizkit still rules. I got my red Yankees hat somewhere.
I was thinking about the other day. Like, there's two generations now of red baseball caps signifying that the person wearing it's probably a rapist.
How can you elaborate on that,
please? Yeah, what?
You know, you got your red Yankees hat from the 90s, which, you know, if you see that behind you in a dark alley, it probably wasn't boding well. And then now if you see somebody wearing a red baseball cap, it says, now you're laying down what I'm putting down.
That's right. That's how that works.
Yeah.
I just think it's interesting that I haven't allowed myself to grow old. I feel like every stupid, dumb slang thing that a 15-year-old says, I know exactly what they're talking about. Thanks a lot, Twitter. I'm going to delete you.
Deleting Twitter like a fam.
Yeah.
I do hate the slang.
It's lit, fam.
Yeah.
I'm screaming. I hate that so much. So much.
You're literally not screaming.
Shut up. Just say something's funny. Just say it's funny. God damn it.
Go off, King. Go on. Go on. Elaborate on this.
Go off, King, as he fucking says it.
You're not out of breath. You're not screaming. You're not dying. You just think something's funny.
Yes. Snatch they weave, sis.
For shizzle.
It's the best. It's the best when it's like a 14-year-old white kid just co-opting like this like very, very black culture of slang, yeah, as they always have.
I just like it when people reply to their comments with like a screenshot of their very white AVI.
That's how it should go. It's how it always should be.
I think that's we're probably like out of time on this one. Is there anything else you guys want to touch?
The one thing we could all agree on is that the Melvins have always sucked.
No, I don't agree on that. Why?
They suck.
I like that one song. That what's sounds like all the other song. I don't know. It goes. Yeah, okay. That one. That's a good one.
If you have questions or comments, if somebody angered you on this episode, please send them an email and not me.
It's Brentaside at. Well, no, that's that email's defunct. You at me at That's Not Metal because I'm never giving up that name. And then you at 365 Days of Horror for Jordan. And you at Joe Thrash and Kill to get our buddy Joe here. Don't add him because he didn't anything wrong. He's a good boy.
Yeah. Everybody be safe out there, and we'll see you next week.
Keep it metal, bros.
Bye.
listening to 66.6 FM. Radio TOVH. The Flush.